Well, now, I'd like you to kind of go to the book of Acts, because the Lord is not done with Pentecost. He's not done with any of us. And I want to honor each and every one of you who came on Wednesday and blessed our brother, Pastor Jay. We were blessed. We were able to bless him, and that's due to your obedience and to some, I would say, sacrificial giving. So we're going to take a peek at the book of Acts and remind us of the things that got us started on Tuesday. He kind of showed a few pieces about Peter. On Wednesday, he showed a little bit more. And one of the things I think that's kind of neat is that Peter was the very same guy who said, "I don't know you, Jesus." And I'd like to remind you that there are times that you don't want to see or know Jesus, because your flesh wants to do it my way. Anybody relate? You just don't want to know him. You wish you just didn't know him so you could just satisfy the moment. After all, if you didn't know him, you wouldn't be accountable to him. You could just do it your way like you used to. Oh, come on. Are you guys all asleep? All right. See, that's part of life. And Peter had definitely done it his way when he was, you know, relating to this guy that now has gotten himself caught, arrested, and he's being interrogated. And it just wasn't his way of this king acting like this little wimp. How many sometimes feel Jesus didn't come through for you? Come on, put your hand up if you felt he just didn't come through for you. Why? Because you're trying to do it your way, and he's saying, "But I got a better plan. I've got a better plan." Okay. Now in Acts chapter 2, we know that the Holy Ghost has already come down. We know that Peter has already declared the word of the Lord. But there's something that I want you to see in chapter 4. And one verse, verse 12. This will satisfy many because they believe that Peter is the head of the house or the head of the church or blah, blah, blah. Because I don't want to go into all the religious concepts. I just want to give you one word that came out of Peter. Peter says, "Salvation is found in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven given to men by which we must be saved." So are you saying we're going through a salvation message? No. But the point is that truth will shatter the lies that the enemy tries to put across. Amen? Now I want you to go back up to Acts chapter 3, verse 1. One day, Peter and John were going up to the temple at the time of prayer. At 3 in the afternoon, now a man crippled from birth was being carried to the temple gate, called Beautiful, where he was put every day to beg from those going into the temple courts. When he saw Peter and John about to enter, he asked them for money. Peter looked straight at him, as did John. Then Peter said, "Look at us." So the man gave them his attention, expecting, and if you don't have a circle around expecting, it might be wise to put a little note there, expecting to get something from them. When you put your hand up today, because of the word of knowledge and a tooth problem, you're expecting God to do something. If you have no expectation, don't expect anything to happen, because it won't.
"Well, God's not on the job."
Yes, he is on the job. Your job is to do the expecting and to begin to thank him. Mark 11:24 says, "Believing you have received, it will be done unto you." Well, believing is a choice we make. It's not an emotional high. Amen? Now, is it true that Jesus went by this same temple area many, many times during his 33 and a half years in the earth? Why didn't Jesus heal this guy? said it wasn't time? Thank you. So it wasn't time. Why did he wait? Why did God wait to use Peter? God's timing is very different than yours or mine. 7 years is an awful long time to wait to see what kind of Bible that this young lady is now going to open up. In part of her testimony, as she was telling me this, she says, Kim, I even forgot what kind of Bible I gave her 7 years ago. Okay? It's okay to forget what you gave. What's important is she didn't forget that she received it. Amen? Okay. So expecting to get something from them. Peter said, silver or gold I do not have, but what I have I give you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, walk. Taking him by the right hand, he helped him up, and instantly, instantly the man's feet and ankles were made strong. He jumped to his feet and began to walk. Then he went with them into the temple courts, walking and jumping. Well, now, how many know that the temple courts were not a place where you would jump? Thank you. Many, many times, the temple courts were places of reverence. Do you ever walk into a sanctuary and it's a religious place? These were religious folks. They didn't like anybody jumping. Here's this guy jumping. Not making any sense. Amen? When all the people saw him walking and praising God, they recognized the same man who used to sit begging at the temple gate, called Beautiful, and they were filled with wonder and amazement at what had happened to him. So they were knowing him, and now they're recognizing that it's the same guy, and whoa, something's up. While the beggar held on to Peter and John, all the people were astonished and came running to them in the place called Solomon's Colonnade. And when Peter saw him, he said to them, Men of Israel, why does this surprise you? Why do you stare at us as if by our own power or godliness we have made this man walk? And the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the God of our fathers, has glorified his servant Jesus and handed him over to be killed, and you disown him. Are you aware of what he's saying? You disowned him. Didn't he disown him? Didn't Peter disown him? How come he's declaring that they did it and he didn't? He received the forgiveness, therefore it no longer existed. His guilt was washed away. His self-condemnation was dealt with. He was no longer looking at the old Peter. He was the new Peter filled with the Holy Ghost. What are you doing looking at your old past as if it's the crutch that you need to feel sorry for yourself? And I know that that's something that you do because I did it too. When I say I did it, I don't want to do it again. Are you catching on? Peter had forgotten, just like God forgets. Close your eyes. Say, from now on, I'm going to choose to forget what God has already forgotten. Because when he forgave me, 1 John 1:9 says he was faithful to forgive me. It's about time I forgive myself and walk on to the miracles that are waiting for me. The self-pity won't work. Amen. Have you been forgiven? Yes. Have you now forgotten where you lived? Sometimes. Depending on the emotional space, sometimes I can forget where I was, who I was, and what I did. Sometimes I have a pity party. Praise God, it's not lasting like they used to, but they do come to visit. How many know they come to visit? Thank you. Don't entertain them as best you can. Okay? Now, and you disowned him before Pilate. Though he had decided to let him go, you disowned the holy righteous one and asked that a murderer be released to you. You killed the author of life. Oh, ho, ho. I mean, is that a bold statement? You killed the author of life, but God raised him from the dead. We are witnesses of this by faith in his name of Jesus. This man whom you see and know was made strong. It is Jesus' name and the faith that comes through him that has given the complete healing to him. Listen to that. By faith in the name of Jesus, this man whom you see and know was made strong. It is Jesus' name and the faith that comes through him, not through you, through him, that has given this complete healing to the man that was injured. As you can see now, brothers, I know that you acted in ignorance, as did your leaders. But this is how God fulfilled what he had foretold through all the prophets, saying that his Christ, his anointed one, would suffer. Repent then and turn to God, so that your sins may be wiped away. And you can keep on reading on your own, but I want you to go to chapter 4, verse 1. The priests and the captains of the temple guard and the Sadducees came to Peter and John while they were speaking to the people. They were greatly disturbed because the apostles were teaching the people and proclaiming in Jesus the resurrection of the dead. Verse 3, they seized Peter and John, and because it was evening, they put them in jail until the next day. But many who heard the message believed, and the number of men grew to about 5,000. So they had a suddenly on the day of Pentecost, and a few days later they've got another suddenly, and now there are 5,000 believers. Are you ready for that kind of a suddenly? Oh, you think you're ready? You think you're ready? How many of you are ready to give out your phone number and to get up in the middle of the night to pray for those who are hurting? Thank you. We got a few hands. Okay? How many have already been awakened in the night and prayed and asked the Lord to just obey? Thank you. You're getting ready. You want the thousands. Are you ready to do the work? How many know that mama sheep and papa sheep have baby sheep? It's not pastors that have baby sheep. They can't do it. Pastors have baby pastors. Come on. Look at each other. Say, I'm a baby pastor under construction. Come on, look at another neighbor, say, I'm a baby pastor under construction. Oh, really? Uh-huh. Well, if you're a baby pastor under construction, are you going to have sheep? Well, you don't know. You might still be in the transition phase. How many did you say, someday I want to be a pastor, but I don't know if I can handle it. I'll still be a sheep for today. Well, then you just might have some births. You might have some births. Amen? Did you hear? I might have some births. Okay. Okay, verse 4. But many who heard the message believed, and the number of men grew to about 5,000. The next day, the rulers and elders and teachers of the law met in Jerusalem. Annas, the high priest, was there, and so were Caiaphas, John, Alexander, and the other men of the high priest's family. They had Peter and John brought before them and began to question them. By what power or what name did you do this? Then Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit, filled of himself, feeling sorry for himself. No. That was back at the trial, wasn't it? Peter, filled with himself, feeling sorry for himself, did what? Denied the Lord. Verse 8 says, Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit, said to them, rulers and elders and people, if we are being called to account today for an act of kindness shown to a cripple and are asked how he was healed, then know this, you and all the people of Israel, it is by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, no puns, but whom God raised from the dead, and that this man stands before you healed. He is the stone you builders rejected, which has become the capstone. The very thing that you thought you didn't need is the very thing that has capped your life and made you valuable in God's eyes and in God's sight. Salvation is found in no one else. For there is no other name under heaven given to men by which we must be saved. When they saw the courage of Peter and John and realized, that they were unschooled, ordinary men. Say, unschooled, ordinary men and women will be used by God to bring in baby sheep and to birth in baby sheep. That's our job. Later, we will be baby pastors. Oh, God, I'm still having a problem. How many know that's a hard word to confess? How many notice it was a hard word to confess? Put your hand up. Look around. Come on, put your hand way up. See, you are still baby sheep at heart.
Too much accountability.
Yeah, there you go. You know, I need to make you laugh because this little revelation came many years ago. Pastor Gino was on a Tuesday noontime. I'll never forget it as long as I live. Because it was a vision that came. And you know when you have a vision, you don't forget. But every Tuesday noon at that time, the early 90s, we used to have a prayer service, and a lot of people would just skip into church at noontime break, you know? And they would come in, and pastor would have a few songs, and the next thing, he'd be on the organ, and he'd play a few songs, and then he'd give out a few words of knowledge and do a quick communion, and he'd give a quick word, and we were gone. Well, in this particular day, he began to give out a message that God was releasing him to be having the children give out, you know, what they had, whatever they happened to have, meaning spiritual children giving out. And then he began to talk a little bit about salvation and to talk to your neighbors and talk to those that are on the workplace. And it was, you know, tell them about Jesus. Tell them about he's available to heal and set free, which was wonderful. And I'm sitting way in the back because my job was sitting on the, if you were facing the chapel or you were facing from the front of the chapel, I would always sit on the far corner. And I didn't know why, but I was a guard there. How many know you have guards in the spirit? Okay, well, there was a guard today. Believe it or not, there was a guard sitting over there, and there was another guard sitting over there. I appreciate you guarding. Thank you. You may not realize what you're doing, but you are guarding. Okay? That was you two gentlemen. Okay? Rick? Zach? You may not realize the intensity of the war games that want to take place, and sometimes we don't realize what God wants to do, and that was happening that day for me. The service ended. I'm quiet before God, and I heard, go to tell Pastor he is not to be concerned about babies anymore. So I went into the office and I knocked on his door and I said, I have a word for you that came from the Lord, because the vision was that it was a man trying to bring in a baby sheep. And a man can't have babies. A man cannot have sheep. It doesn't happen. It just cannot happen. I said, you are a pastor and you're going to have baby pastors. And he began to smile and he began to giggle. And he says, you know, you're absolutely right. There's no way that I could bear a sheep, but I can definitely bear pastors. And he says, there's quite a few already being born, aren't there? And I says, yes, there are. So that following week, he gave out a message to the sheep that they were responsible to make sure that they gave out words of life and seeds of life so that other babies would come. So the words that were given today, did you notice? You gave words to one that you gave seeds to 7 years ago, and it's come to pass. And many times you have no idea the seeds that you put in are going to give life, and they will produce life. And it's wonderful to watch how God works. So now Peter is definitely responding to these people, okay? And he's letting them know, hey, we're ordinary. Are you ordinary? Do you qualify? Yes. They were astonished and they took note that these men had been with Jesus, verse 14. But since they could see the man who had been healed standing there with them, there was nothing they could say. So they ordered them to withdraw from the Sanhedrin and then confer together. What are we going to do with these men? They asked. Everybody living in Jerusalem knows that they have done an outstanding miracle, and we cannot deny it. Are you ready for a miracle to happen through your hand, through your mouth, through your actions and reactions? Are you ready? Okay. There's a price, right? Okay. But to stop this thing that's spreading any further from among, we must warn these men to speak no longer to anyone in this name. Giving you an understanding that the name is what they can't handle. Then they called them in again and commanded them not to speak to teach at all in the name of Jesus. But Peter and John replied, judge for yourselves whether it is right in God's sight to obey you rather than God. Now the rubber hits the road. Religious format kept me from doing for a season. And religious format was not God's plan for me. How many know what I'm talking about? Religious format will dictate and it will oppress you so that you can no longer be obedient to the Holy Ghost. They chose to obey God rather than... close your eyes. Say, today, by an act of my free will, I choose to obey God rather than men or women with dictatorial laws, but to obey the Holy Ghost every step of the way. And to follow in the steps of the apostles. Whatever I need to do. Whomever I need to speak. Whomever I need to pull up out of their crippled space. God will anoint me with power to speak the name of Jesus. And the crippled areas will be released. The broken people will be healed. And they will be delivered. And they will rise out of death into fullness of life. Because Jesus is the author of life. And he was resurrected. And I was resurrected with him. So I'm not going to be dead anymore. I'm going to be active and full of life. And the words that will pour out of my mouth will bring life and not death. To me first. And to those that are waiting for God's glory. In Jesus' name. Amen. And amen. Any additions? How can I be an effective tool this weekend? Be a compassionate servant. A compassionate servant will take time to release grace to those that are hurting. You just might be in a cemetery situation tomorrow. You might be going there for certain odds and ends. Be prayed up. Be prayed up. On your way to the cemetery, pray in the Holy Spirit. Build yourself up in your most holy faith. Intercession is needed for those that have lost loved ones. And it's a perfect ground for more seeds of life, not death. The other day, the Holy Spirit brought a revelation that I began to understand a little bit deeper. And this is not an antichrist statement. But I can remember the very first time that the Lord told me, because I was involved in a very religious church, and it was in the spring of the year, or latter part of the winter, I should say, and they call it Ash Wednesday. And the Lord said to me, "You're no longer to receive those ashes." Well, it was a law that I should, if I wanted to be a part of. And I could not understand my own soul. I could not comprehend why I was being so moved by the Spirit of God inside of me that I wasn't to accept those ashes. So I said, "Lord, I'm going to obey in blind faith." How many have ever made a comment like that? "I'm going to obey in blind faith, believing that you will make that clear later." Okay? Well, Romans 6:16 says, "To whom you submit to, you become a slave to." Well, that began to bring in a little bit of wisdom. I didn't want to be in slavery to the spirit of death because I was now submitting, because the words that are spoken, because I've done this as an extraordinary minister in a Catholic church, and I know they do this in other churches, that they apply the ashes and they say, "Remember, man, that thou art dust, and into dust thou shalt return." I am not made of the man of dust, am I? Whoops. We got a problem. How many can put their hand up and say, "I am a man of dust"? None of you? How many of you say, "I am of the man of the Spirit"? Now you know why I couldn't go. I am no longer of the man of dust, who is Adam. Amen? I am of the man of the Spirit, who is Jesus. So I am no longer under the anointing of death. I'm under the anointing of life. So when I submit to go backwards, what am I doing? I'm not going to give you the details, but that's what I was doing. And I knew it was bringing war in my own house, this house. Me, at war. Well, after all, I've done it every year, but the Holy Ghost was on the job. And the Holy Ghost said, "Don't do it anymore." And I bought the truth. And I didn't return. And I remember this one year, which I had not gone for maybe 2 or 3 years for this ash stuff. And I was still in business. The store was still open. And this lady comes in and she has got, I mean, this glob of black stuff on her forehead that would have probably, you know, she was very, very light skinned. And she had a big glob and she says, "Oh, Kim," she says, "I just want to share my ashes with you." And guess what I said to her? "No, thanks." "Well," she says, "you didn't have a chance to go, and I just want to give." I said, "Sweetheart, keep them. I don't want them. I'm not living there anymore." And I knew that was God. So you see, your experience can be like mine. I can tell you about Peter 2,000 years ago, but I can tell you about Kim that did not bow. Did it cost? Oh man, this woman was so infuriated with me. She went around giving all kinds of news to the whole neighborhood, and all the people were very interested in listening that Kim had refused the holy ashes. He had refused. How could he? Say, some things were for then.
Some things were for then.
And some things are for now. Some things are because of me in the old. But now I step into the new. I live in a new day. And I'm full of life. Death no longer. Life every day. Hallelujah. Lord Jesus, I believe with my brothers and sisters that there has been a transition happening in their hearts, that you would continue to release peace into them, that you would continue to use them over this weekend to release life to those that they meet, and to release grace to each other in Jesus' precious name. Amen?
Amen.
Share some hugs.